Hello, everyone, and welcome to our hero worship of Jordan Peele. No, we're going to, we love him, and we're going to, you know, we've been doing these director episodes. We did Ari Aster, so Jordan Peele is someone we spoke about at length when we first watched Get Out. This was, whatever, 5 or 6 years ago. And the episode's not even available at the moment right now because it was really early on in our sound and our conversations.
That's right.
And we remember it fondly. I don't know how it would translate now, but we wanted to go back and say, like, now there's a trifecta. There's a trilogy, basically, of these three horror movies that Jordan has made, Get Out, Us, and Nope, and we wanted to kind of talk more about all three of them. And I think we're going to start with a little bit of, I don't know, Jordan history, you know, just the minor kind of setup of who Jordan Peele is. Also, this is spoilers, so if you have not seen Get Out, Us, and Nope, and you plan to, like, I understand if you don't plan to, but if you plan to, or you're listening to this as inspiration, I would understand that as well. But we're going to talk spoilers for all these movies, so just know that going in. Warning!
It doesn't surprise me that in 2017, he was included on the annual Times 100 list of the most influential people in the world.
Yeah.
His work is so interesting, and how I always like to look at, like, how people got to where they did, especially when you're as brilliant and successful as he is. And for most of us who were around and old enough in the 90s and early 2000s, I remember Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key as, like, hilarious sketch comedians.
They're
on
so
Mad
funny.
TV.
Oh my God, right? So funny.
So it was so strange when he, like, moved into the horror stuff, because I just know him as being so funny. And he didn't move into comedy horror. He moved into horror.
We were all kind of like, that Jordan Peele?
Yeah, it was really bizarre.
Amazing. So talented.
His breakout role was in 2003 with Mad TV. And I used to watch him all the time on there. But he didn't really start directing till 2017, which is how he made that list. And so when he did Get Out, you know, everybody was just like, poof, like their brains exploded. Like, this guy's a flipping genius. And wow, we have not seen all his cards yet, because he's also really fucking funny.
He's amazing. And there's always a little bit of a through line of humor in all three of these horror movies.
Yes.
There's some funny moments for sure.
I'm going to go forward, then I'm going to go back here for a second. In 2012, he started the Monkey Paw Productions company, and then we started to see him doing more films, and he redid Candyman in 2021, which we're not talking about today, but he always had a desire to redo that film because he loved the history of Candyman, the villain, and it was not really portrayed from that light in the original, right? Mm-hmm. The second one, the remake, gave much more context to the slave history and all of that, of how Candyman came to be, which, you know, so he had a desire to do that. And I believe, my understanding is, he's going to be doing that with People Under the Stairs as well, because it was the first movie that, it was the first time he saw himself in a horror movie, meaning the hero was a young black boy. Mm-hmm. And you never really saw that at that time in horror. So he always had this underlying love for it. He's a self-identified cinephile ever since he was young, which, you know, obvious, that's pretty obvious to, given what he went into. But he started in stand-up comedy. That's how he got into Mad TV. But what I think is even more interesting is, he actually went to Sarah Lawrence and he majored in puppetry.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a fact.
It was a horror fact a long time ago.
Yep.
After 2 years, he dropped out to form a comedy duo with his classmate from Sarah Lawrence, who ended up being Keegan-Michael Key.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that, and then they both went on to do, they auditioned for Mad TV. They both got in it. And then he did a bunch of television. And then he ended up, you know, rolling into his film work. He has a really interesting career because, first of all, it takes, I think, a lot of brilliance to do comedy.
Yeah.
Like, to do comedy well, you have to be a very, very intelligent person.
And I think the same of horror, but...
Yeah, absolutely. So you take those two skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is white, his father is black, so he's biracial. He was born in New York City in February of 1979. Let's see. He last saw his father when he was 7 years old. So he grew up mostly just with his single mom. Graduated from the Calhoun School on Manhattan's Upper West Side in 1997. And then he went on to Sarah Lawrence, where he majored in puppetry. And then the rest is history. interesting path to where he is now.
Mm-hmm. Recently, he was on Conan O'Brien. So if you listen to Conan O'Brien's podcast from a few months ago, he did an interview on there and it was really fun.
Oh,
and
cool.
I love Conan's show because it's fun. They talk obviously about real things, but it's also entertaining and funny, and you know, an hour long interview with Jordan Peele, and you know, his humor comes out and all of that. I also saw a really interesting live interview with him a few years back at the Produced By conference, which is a conference that the Producers Guild comes out with every year. There's a bunch of interviews and stuff, and I remember him talking about something you mentioned, which was the puppetry and how he kind of came to comedy. And it actually plays a part in what I was going to mention about Us, the movie Us. Is part of that movie is the duality of things, right?
Yes.
And that's how I see it, is like, it's super shocking that he went from comedy to horror. But if you think about it in his look at duality in the Us movie, comedy and horror is a duality, right? It's mm-hmm. like it's opposite sides of a coin, which is, when we get to Us, we could talk about more.
Very
about
Shakespearean
that.
Of him.
Yeah.
The tragedy and comedy of life.
He's so fancy. Let's start with Get Out. For those of you who don't know anything about this, please go watch this movie and Get Out.
Get out of here.
Come back.
Get out of here and come back.
Get Out is a movie that was released in 2017, obviously, with Jordan Peele as the director. And the film synopsis is basically, Chris and his girlfriend, Rose, have reached the meet the parents milestone, basically, of dating. And she invites him for a weekend getaway upstate with her parents, Missy and Dean. And at first, Chris reads the family's overly accommodating behavior as nervous attempts to deal with their daughter's interracial relationship. That's kind of how they make it seem mm-hmm. in the beginning of like, oh, you're dating a black man. That's interesting. And then everyone's nervous and overcompensating and doing all the things that white people mm-hmm. do in that situation. But as the weekend progresses, a series of increasingly disturbing discoveries leads him to a truth that he never could have imagined. So that's the non-spoiler version of this movie. So we're going spoilers. So really, this is the time to go away if you haven't seen this movie.
Get out.
Get out. Because what you find out is that they're actually really horribly racist people.
I think it's a social commentary also on, and I may have read this somewhere, but a social commentary on the way in which the professional sports have abused black athletes, professional black athletes, and essentially like running them into the ground without getting paid as much as like a white quarterback, right? So we've mm-hmm. seen a lot of these like linebackers, and a lot of them end up with spinal injuries and brain issues and chronic depression. And the NFL's like, I don't know what to tell you. Yet they'll like pay these, you know, white guys for the rest of their life. They'll take care of their health. And it's just like, it emphasizes how much we have exploited the black body for entertainment mm-hmm. and using their physique, which, you know, talking to a friend of mine who is a black woman, she says, you know, a lot of our physique comes from years of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so brilliant how he takes like all these concepts that we're slightly aware of, and then he makes it into a product that's mm-hmm. like so brilliant, because there's so much truth to that mm-hmm. in our world.
Absolutely. I like this movie of the three for the following reasons. It's more psychological. He came out of the gate with a psychological tension and a social commentary. Whereas when you get into Us, there's more horror and gore and yeah. all of that. And you get into Nope and there's more sci-fi. So he's really going through the different things. This one is much more of a psychological thriller, and the tension in it is much more psychological than the other movies, in my opinion. And the monster in this movie is racism.
Yeah.
That's a psychological. There are definitely creepy moments and there are definitely scary moments, but they're based on what's happening psychologically. And I think one of the most interesting interviews I saw about this with Jordan was him talking about how, you know, his mission, and I think he succeeded, was he had many missions with this film. I'm not saying this was the one, but that he could put us, meaning white people, in the POV of a Black person for 90 minutes. Like, how can I have you see this from a Black person's perspective? And by this, he meant the microaggression, because the bad guys in this movie are middle class liberals.
Yes.
These are not the people that are out being incredibly racist overtly on the outside.
Racist, right.
These are middle class liberals. It's the community of white people that denies they're racist.
Absolutely.
And so that's the real key to this movie to me, is that it's me. I am a middle class liberal white lady.
Yeah.
And the audience for this movie is me, if I'm a person that says I'm not racist as a middle class liberal and doesn't understand the privilege or the microaggressions that can happen. Because some of the microaggressions are literally when well-meaning liberals are like overcompensating in conversation with a Black person.
Yeah.
And trying to be overly sensitive and watching our words and walking on eggshells, because racism is such a subtle and complex conversation that most people avoid it. Mm-hmm. And so if you avoid those conversations about culture and race and our own racist upbringing as white people and our own privilege, if you avoid those conversations, you get more and more and more and more fucking awkward with them.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think that is what makes it a standout film, because we know that a lot of films, when it's depicted, racism is depicted, it's through this very right-wing conservative lens, that it's obvious, and that those of us white people who don't fall in that category can easily say, oh yeah, I'm not like them, right? And the truth is that what he does in this film is shows that no matter how woke you might be, you are not us.
Mm-mm.
And we have to constantly go out of our way to make you comfortable and to not be a bother, and also to be very patient and understanding and absorb all of that racism in moments to make you feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because there's some really, 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 you know, it's the idea, what Shannon was talking about a moment ago, is like the difference between intention and impact, right? So it doesn't matter what your intention is, it's the impact of what's going on in those moments. And there's some really cringeworthy moments at that party when he's being introduced to the white folks that it made me uncomfortable as a white person. I can't imagine just like having to absorb that and then just stand there, because the second you have a reaction, now you're the angry Black person, or now you're ignorant, or now you're making them feel bad. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's an amazing movie because it lulls you as an audience member into going, I'm not like that, or oh my God, that's so egregious, or that's horrible. And then he flips the script and you go forward from there, and you really have an eye-opening cultural experience, which is what he was absolutely successful at, in my opinion.
It's so good.
So, and beyond that, it's a solid script. Like, watching it again, it's solid. The script is very tight. Like, the other two movies are not like this. They're different. This movie is still like tightly scripted, well-placed twists. It's multi-leveled. It's psychologically really scary.
Can we real quickly though mention, of course, the comic relief is his buddy.
Yeah, yeah. The ending is so satisfying. And what do you want in a horror movie? You want a satisfying ending. And I did read stories about how it didn't originally end like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they gave us the satisfying ending, which thank goodness.
Yeah, the character development in this movie is so good.
Yes, yes, yes. So on that note, let's go no further without doing
Jordan Facts with Cleo.
We're going to do some Jordan Peele facts with Kathy.
Number one.
Yeah.
What hilarious sketch did Jordan win an Emmy for? It was like a specific Mad TV sketch.
Okay.
Even if you just give like, it was about this, I think. Mm-hmm. Number two. In the movie Us, Nyong'o's tethered voice is based on this real medical disorder. Number three, What was Get Out actually inspired by?
Okay.
Number four, in Us, the tethered versions of the characters all wear a single leather glove on one hand. Peele's decision to use this is a nod to blank.
Mm-hmm.
And then number five, Peele was the first Black person to win what?
All right. So at the end of the show, we will get those answers. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So let's talk. If we're done with Get Out in these brief conversations, let's talk about Us.
Sure.
If you haven't seen it, it was a movie called Us that came out in 2019. I absolutely, if you like horror movies, please watch this movie because it's definitely, out of the three, it's the horror movie for sure. So the basic plot summary is, accompanied by her husband, son, and daughter, Adelaide Wilson returns to the beachfront home where she grew up as a child. Haunted by a traumatic experience from the past, Adelaide grows increasingly concerned that something bad is going to happen. Her worst fears soon become a reality when four masked strangers descend upon the house in the most creepy way, forcing the Wilsons into a fight for survival. When the masks come off, the family is horrified to learn that each attacker takes the appearance of one of them. Oh, this movie. So this is definitely more of a horror.
It is.
And it takes the cliches of horror movies and makes them not as cliche. Like, he does them in unique and interesting ways, in my opinion. So I really like this movie. Lupita is amazing. There's a bunch of other actors that are in this movie that are really good, that are really enjoyable.
As a standalone horror film, even without implementing all of the depth to it, it's terrifying.
Yeah, this is what I would say. I would say it's a great, just like you, I would say it's a great recommendation. It's just a really good horror movie. Like, this is the one out of these three that scared me just as a horror movie. There are many scenes in this movie that I still find very creepy and also very scary. Like, I sit and I get the tension in my body of, oh, even though I know what's going to happen, the way everybody interacts, the shot choices, the way he, you know, it's kind of like James Wan, where when you watch some of his early stuff, it's the shot choices and the way he scares you. I feel that way about Jordan in this movie. Like, he knows how to make a fucking horror movie. Like, mm-hmm. it, the way he leads you into these places, like, for example, when the four masked intruders, home invasion is terrifying to begin with, so that's a trope obviously here, but like, the four masked people are holding hands, like the Hands Across America, obviously, because that's a theme in this movie. But they're holding hands at the end of the driveway, and you're just looking out the window at them and they're backlit. So all you see is it's the masks and the outfits they're wearing and just like the silhouette. And they literally just stand there forever. And the dad's like, hello, what are you doing? Da, da, da. And they just don't even move. And then they go back in the house, you know, all this tension builds. And then all of a sudden they just start running at the house. And I'm just like, ah! You know, it's so scary.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But a lot of that kind of stuff happens in this movie, which makes me happy. It's a scary one. I actually like this movie a lot. When I first watched it, the complex story, the bigger story around the duality of having a doppelganger, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. that has been oppressed. Mm-hmm. All of the deeper, like Kathy was saying, all of the deeper things in this movie, I didn't get all of them when I first watched this. I just thought it was a kick-ass horror movie.
Yeah, you got to watch it multiple times.
Yeah, and then you get to the end and you're like, and you know there's shit happening. You know it all means something, but you're kind of on it for the ride. So I didn't get a lot of it. And also, I don't happen to be Black. So I don't get that. I see the movies differently than a Black person watches the movie. So I'm not going to pick up on a lot of the things that he's throwing down on the first watch.
Right.
But I'm in it. Like, I'll watch it 2, 3, 4 times. I'll read articles about it to learn what the heck is going on. And what I know about this movie kind of conceptually is that there's this idea that we can't ignore the ramifications of privilege. because one of the doppelgangers has a lot of privilege and the other has none.
Yep.
And looking at how that duality and the idea, which I think is really, really interesting. And so now when I watch this movie, I have it in my mind and it makes it an even more interesting movie. So I want to pass it on to you guys if you don't already sort of see this in it, which you probably do. So as a privileged person and what we feel we deserve is always at the price of someone else's suffering. So in this movie, it is very black and white that the privileged people are oppressing the not at all privileged people in this in a very clear, extravagant, dramatic way. And so you see that duality very clearly. We don't get what we quote unquote think we deserve without someone else's suffering.
One cannot exist without the other.
Exactly. That is the very nature of the word privilege, right? Yeah. Privilege. There has to be the person that isn't privileged for you to be privileged.
The oppressed and the,
And so this movie explicates that in a great horror movie. You can watch it without having to have any of these thoughts, honestly.
Well, I also think too, putting the one who's oppressed typically is the one who's held responsible for having a reaction to things, for being looked at or viewed as more, you know, primitive and like a monster or not of this earth, right? So like even the way that it's constructed, you find out this whole time that the person who's been oppressed, you know, has been turned into the monster and the misunderstood. And that's what we oftentimes see. It's why we have racial profiling and all of these things. It's why when I was doing forensic treatment, I left because I could not escape the amount of racial profiling that would lead to inaccurate and unfair diagnoses. As a privileged culture, we have to, through our own cognitive dissonance, make sense of why we are oppressing them, or we will psychologically annihilate. So no better way to do that by making them angry enough that they behave in ways that we can go, this is why we have to control them. They are not human, right? They're not equivalent to us. So there lies that justification. And then we just keep living our lives and going, well, if they just worked hard enough, or if they just were as regulated, or maybe if they weren't so loud or didn't have these violent protests, then maybe we could trust and have that, like, we've done this to them.
Yeah.
And I think this movie just really does this very well.
So beyond that, you know, Jordan Peele absolutely always has Easter eggs in everything, every single thing he does.
Just so fun.
And there's no way we could mention them all. Get Out has a ton. I remember mentioning one of them in the first episode that we did, where he literally picks cotton out of his chair to save himself, which is this profound thing if you realize that when you're watching it, like little Easter eggs like that, that all go to his theming, to his message, to his story, that don't hit you over the head. You can go back and watch. And he's done tons of interviews where he talks about different Easter eggs. He doesn't give them all up, of course, but along the way he does. And with Us, I think one of the interesting things that happens all the way throughout, and to tip you to maybe one of the answers or the horror facts, is that he's got MJ, he's got Michael Jackson references all throughout this movie. And one of the reasons for that is this duality theme, is because he sort of says Michael Jackson is always represented a duality of gender, of behavior, of color, of everything.
Controversy.
Like controversy. Even setting that aside, there was so much about Michael Jackson that was dual. You know, he would do things that would make people laugh, and then he was so shy, and then he would do like a horror video to Thriller that would scare the crap out of you at the time. So there were just all these dualities, and that's like that inspiration, right? Like Jordan Peele, comedy and horror, and he felt like Michael Jackson had that as well. That's one thing that you can spot references throughout this movie. You can also spot duality references, even the scissors that they use, right? Like when you look at a pair of scissors, they're matching two matching pieces that are quote unquote tethered together to make the clipping motion to cut things, right? They're literally two sides of a coin that are tethered together. You can't, scissors don't work with just one or the other piece. So that's like a little Easter egg throughout the whole movie that represent, even, you know, so the instrument he chose, scissors, is like the duality, the privilege, it's all so meaningful if you really look into it. What did you think of this movie for you?
I loved this movie, and I know that I didn't, when it first came out, people had things to say because they were comparing it to Get Out, and for as many people who loved it, a lot of people were like, it's no Get Out, you know, and it's like, well, it's not trying to be, it's,
yeah,
you know, he's more than one film, guys, like, he's showing us.
We didn't know that then, right?
We didn't know that.
It was like, that was the second one, and it was like, oh, okay.
I really liked it. The first time I watched it, due to everything you have already said, I had to watch it again because I missed so much that I was a little confused at the end. And now I've seen it a number of times.
I was too.
Yeah, now I've seen it a number of times and it's very clear. But I like it more and more every time I watch it. And it's not a movie that I watch all the time. Mm-hmm. I've probably watched it, you know,
every couple of years or something.
Yeah, like three times or something. But mm-hmm. every time I've seen it, not only have I picked up something else, now, because I truly understand what's going on, I don't have to pay as much attention to that. And I can start to pay attention to the depth of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really remarkable film.
Yeah, I just really like it. I have always really liked it. It might be my favorite of the three, which is kind of an unpopular opinion. Because I think a lot of people were really confused by it in the beginning. But I really dig the ideas. I'm always finding out new things about it. Every time I watch it, I see something different. And it's a horror movie. Like, it scares me. There are scenes in that have nothing to do with anything. Nothing smarty pants about it at all. It's just the way the kills are scary. It's just scary. I think it's a scary horror movie. I think it's a really, really solid one. And I get that maybe most people watching it are going to be confused, as I was when they first see it. But if you can just enjoy the fact that the horror movie elements of it, I think it's really kind of killer.
It is.
I like all three of these movies for different reasons. So this one I like because it's a great horror movie. The first one, Get Out, I like because it's a great psychological movie. And it was like a blow me out of the water kind of concept when I first saw it. So let's go to Nope, the most recent movie of his that came out in 2022, actually. And Kathy and I have actually been to Halloween Horror Nights with the Nope was on the back lot. And I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Those people dressed like they were scary. They scared me.
Yeah.
They scared me in that event. This movie, to me, one of the criticisms, of course, is that it's not that scary. And I don't find it scary either. It's scary in concept. The concept of some of the things that are happening are pretty scary. And if you're scared by certain things in this, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen to scare me. But the basic premise of this is a man and his sister discover something sinister in the skies above their California horse ranch, while the owner of a nearby theme park tries to profit from the mysterious otherworldly phenomenon.
So much about this movie I liked. And mm-hmm. again, I think all of his movies are very different. Mm-hmm. And some people didn't care for this movie.
Yeah.
But I've been bringing up the social commentary of all of these. And this one really was around, there's a lot going on, but just the exploitation of also using animals for entertainment and what happens when we, you know, try to force something to be at our mercy when it's not supposed to be, and then sort of blame it for when it has a response or a reaction to something, which is also, we saw elements of that with humans in Us, but he does it very explicitly with animals in this one. But then there's all this like really fun sci-fi stuff going on, and I love the comedy in this one too. So for me, this one felt more like a Signs, mm-hmm. where you got a really good sci-fi horror, mm-hmm. but then also like a really rich character development that you cared for these people and they made you laugh. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it gave you a lot to chew on.
Yeah, this one's entirely different from the other two. I just love how he takes risks, Jordan Peele, how he takes risks and does something different with each one and really takes his time, you know, a couple of years to develop an idea and a story and a script and then shoot. You know, like, I just really like the differences and how he's like, yeah, I'm not just going to make a psychological, you know, race film every time.
Right.
You know, I'm going to I'm going to look at other social commentaries and social issues. However, there is certainly a theme of, you know, Black people's relationship with cinema and, you know, and the police. Because a lot of people are saying, or a lot of commentary around the, again, spoilers, run away. Run away if you've made it this far. Run away. Spoilers around what's in the sky, which is an alien. And been correlations to alien being the police for Black people, and, you know, metaphors with that and exploitation, you know, that this is about exploitation across the board, not just for animals, but the more blatant on the surface thing is that you're looking at a lack of care for animals for the in service of spectacle.
That's right.
And so this guy who's a child actor, as you guys know, because you've seen the movie, who doesn't get killed by this monkey because he takes his eyes off the monkey, doesn't make eye contact, and sees this weird shoe that's standing up on end from some, you know, psychic phenomenon. He takes his eyes off the monkey, doesn't look him in the eye. The monkey doesn't see him as prey, snaps the monkey out of it, and ends up not killing him. This kid grows up with this false narcissism around being chosen, around how, you know, he survived. He's got this whole narrative so that he's the narcissist that's going to take on the big alien and and be the guy that can, you know, he's special. He was chosen. He's going to take on the big alien and win and all that. And, you know, he doesn't. In fact, it's Kiki Palmer, who's amazing in this.
I love her so much in this movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
She's amazing. So I think what this movie has, beyond what we've already mentioned, is really likable leads.
Yes.
And this is the guy from Get Out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's amazing, and he is exceptional in this movie as well as incredibly grumpy, shut down guy.
OJ is his name.
And Daniel Kaluuya is his real
so
name.
Good.
And he plays OJ, which, I mean, come on, that's a little on the nose, right?
Yeah.
And Keith David is even in this movie briefly.
Yep.
Michael Wincott. Kiki is amazing. Steven Yeun is amazing as well as the kid that grows up. And it's pretty fun. It's a lot of fun. There's humor in this for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's longer than the other movies. You know, just like with Ari, each movie gets longer.
It's getting longer, a little longer.
Each movie gets a little longer and longer. What I like about this movie, there's a few things I like about this movie. The acting is always kick-ass, so I don't even have to mention that, but of course, the acting is kick-ass. The story is really interesting. But visually, this movie, I think Jordan Peele took it up a notch. Like, this movie without the visual appeal is really not going to work. It's visually stunning, I think. And that landscape that they're in, this California desert ranch type of thing, is what I grew up around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very familiar. If I go hiking in my own mountains, this is what I see. It's very, you know, the MASH set. It's very out like, there are a ton of valleys around here that look exactly like that. I'm sure they probably shot it.
Is it Agua Dulce, I think, is where it was filmed. And that is a lot of horse property out there. So it all makes sense.
Even Malibu was a big ranch at one point. Mm-hmm. And there are still tons of ranches over there. They're just really expensive now. The other thing about this movie to me, besides the good acting and the interesting thing, is I just want to be in that world. It's a really interesting world. I love these likable two main characters, really just draw me in. Like, I'm just interested to see what's going to happen next. And I really like the way the commentary on cinema, because there's cameras used in this movie, and like what they capture, and the pinnacle of the moment where Kiki wins is her taking photos of this alien. It's a real sense of how Black people's experience with the police and with cinema and with being photographed and videotaped and all these horrific things that are happening to Black people in our culture at the hands of police. And I don't know a ton about this movie and its commentary, but there's something in there that was really appealing to me, because her win is when she's able to take pictures of the aliens, have proof, and then provide the alien as spectacle to the press, which is this whole movie, and spectacle and being taken advantage of. And this alien creature is the last animal to be exploited. Our two main characters literally take pictures of it and then exploit it in the media. At least that's what we think happens at the end. And I just find all of that twisty and turning in my head as just really interesting fodder. But I would say I don't find this movie scary.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not scary. But it goes back to the Get Out kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love this one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when we watched it all together few weeks back, I was like, I forgot how much I really liked it. It's a fun one. And once you've seen it once, you don't have to, again, you don't have to pay as close of attention. So you can just have it on and visually it's awesome. Where it's shot, how it's shot, it's really cool.
Yeah. For me, it's not a movie that I need to watch a bunch of times to try to understand it.
No.
And I do think there are some bits and bobs along the way that kind of get dropped in story and they're never, you never figure out what happened to that part and what happened to this part. So I do feel like there's some moments that either I don't understand them or, you know, I'm going to be confident in myself and say there's some little holes along the way that don't quite work for me, but I still love it. I love all three of these movies.
Mm, yeah, me too. He's a really brilliant dude.
Yep. And so we're going to get some answers to the...
Jordan Facts with Gal!
Oh, did you say Jordy?
No.
Just a little it sounded like it.
What hilarious sketch did Jordan win an Emmy for?
I really don't know.
It was called Sad 50 Cent.
Oh.
And it was a parody of 50 Cent and Kanye's rivalry.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
I loved Mad TV. Okay. And in the movie Us, Lupita's tethered voice is based on this real medical disorder.
I don't know. Scratchiness?
Spasmodic dysphonia or laryngeal dystonia, which results in vocal distortion. Mm-hmm. She actually worked with a vocal coach to use some of these symptoms in her voice. That's got to be really painful on her voice to have talked
really,
like that.
Really, 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 really painful.
Yeah. Number three, what was Get Out inspired by?
Well, the one I know is the Stepford Wives, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there's, I mean, not just that, obviously. The creepiest shit in that movie is, I swear to God, are these black people trapped inside themselves. It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
And they look like Stepford Wives.
It's actually based on Eddie Murphy's stand-up routine where he asks why white people don't just leave a house when a ghost shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe there's just been so many interviews, because I know he also talked about like that there was an inspiration from the Stepford Wives and from Rosemary's Baby, actually. Mm. Like a bunch of different. So I was thinking movies, but that makes sense, okay, too. I'm sure he said a lot of things. I mean, you know, I'm sure it was inspired by a ton of shit.
Yeah. In Us, the tethered versions of the characters all wear a single leather glove on one hand. So Peele's decision to use this was a nod to what?
Michael Jackson's one glove?
Yeah, Michael Jackson, Freddy Krueger, and O.J. Simpson. Yeah. And then number five, Peele was the first black person to win what?
An Oscar?
For best original screenplay.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Because we did have black actors before him win Oscars, but for that specific...
Mm-hmm.
Specific one. So.
Well, and I liked Candyman too. We mentioned it briefly, but he didn't direct that. And so I would include that in a female director episode if we did one of those.
Yeah, I really liked that.
Because
one.
I thought she did well. I know it got a lot of criticism, but I thought it was a solid flick.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a lot of fun, Kathy.
Yeah.
I like this. I loved rewatching these movies.
Me too.
Made me very happy. Thank you all for listening. This has been an episode of Terror Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.